If your passion lies in elite British road racing and you want an inside line on the teams, riders, organisers and sponsors that make this sport such a compelling spectacle, you're in the right place. I'm Timothy John, and joining me for every episode is my co-host, the Managing Director of Brother UK, Phil Jones.
Thanks, Tim. It's great to be here. We're going to use this platform to talk about all the key issues surrounding the sport. With special guests, deep dives into hot topics and plenty of chat, we'll keep you informed about all things UK racing. Stay tuned.
Hello and welcome to this new edition of the Brother UK Cycling Podcast, where our guest today is Josie Nelson from Team DSM Firmenich Post NL. A bike racer from almost as soon as she could cycle, Josie has already competed in Mountain Bike World Cup races, the European Cyclocross Championships. She's been crowned British Circuit Race Champion and rolled out for World Tour races, including the Tour de France Femmes and the Women's Paris-Roubaix. It's extraordinary to consider then that Josie is still only 21. Having lived and raced in Belgium and travelled the world to race in places as far from her native Lichfield as China and Australia, she is a truly international competitor, independent, resilient, and resourceful. Josie, thank you very much indeed for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Not at all. Is this your first camp with DSM or have you already been here?
Yeah, we already did one last month in December.
You're still based in the UK. How encouraging is it to come out to Spain and feel the sun on your back?
Yeah, it's really nice to be able to escape the UK for a few weeks.
Is weather of concern to a cyclocross rider or do you brush these things off?
It definitely does get a bit much sometimes because obviously I'm doing long rides throughout winter, so yeah, it can get cold and not always the nicest thing to be doing.
What do you hope to achieve from a week like this? Is it getting used to the materials? Is it getting your race program? Is it as general as bonding with your new teammates? What's the sort of goal for a rider at a week like this?
Yeah, sort of all of those things, really. These two camps are the only time when all of the teammates are together. So obviously we're doing different races, so it's nice to be able to bond in that way. We have quite a few team meetings, giving each other feedback before and after races and just trying to work together as a team as best as we can, because that's so important in this sport. And yeah, just getting some good hours in the sun.
Yeah. I mean, you've already been riding as a professional for two or three years now, at the very least, but at a team that perhaps was less well-resourced than DSM Firmenich Post NL. How different is this setup?
There's more support with the World Tour team, which is inevitable, really. They're quite different teams. Co-op has a lot of racing opportunities. They're a very established team. The support material wise and things like that isn't as good as a World Tour team. So it's nice to be able to have that now.
This whole sort of training camp ambience, is that something that you were already used to, or is this a new experience for you?
Yeah, this is a new experience for me, yeah.
And one you're enjoying?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's really nice. Both camps have been really good.
Let's sort of go all the way back. What led you to cycling in the first instance?
I feel like it sort of just happened. I've got three older siblings and they started doing it before me, or maybe we all just joined at a similar time. We've always been a sporty family. My parents both did sports, or they were good at sports when they were at school, but neither of their parents could support them to go further than like outside of school. So my parents wanted to make sure that they could give us those opportunities.
Your sister Emily is the living proof of that, former world champion and European champion in the team pursuit. How much of an influence has Emily been on your career?
Yeah, I always feel like she's been a big influence on my career. We did a camp together in Croatia in 2019. So that was nice to join her for some long rides. She pushed me quite a bit that week. But yeah, I might not be here today without her. She got me on the ESRX cycling team, which pretty much kickstarted my career. So yeah, I have a lot to thank her for.
Tell me about cycling and racing. Has cycling always meant competitive cycling for you? Has there ever been a time when it was simply for enjoyment of the bike?
Yeah, when I was growing up, it was purely just for enjoyment. I think I did some national mountain bike rounds, and I didn't really know even what I was competing in. It was just another fun race for me. And then, yeah, getting older, I was like, you know what, I can make a career out of this. I really enjoy it, so I may as well go for it. And yeah, I'm here now.
That's something that, you know, looking back through your career, reading various interviews, almost seems to be the defining feature, JC, of your career is willingness to accept opportunity. You seem like a very independent spirit, somebody who's very resourceful, very resilient. Stop me if I've got the wrong end of the stick here, but you seem almost like the archetypal Rainer Foundation rider.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely with help of my family and both of my sisters, actually. My other sister, Lucy, has helped me a lot as well.
I think you moved to Belgium to ride for Trinity at the age of 18.
Yeah, I did. That was quite, it was a hard but also a really good experience at the same time. I felt quite young still. So moving out and was hard, and during COVID as well. So it wasn't easy to just pop back home and no one could come and visit me easily. So it was difficult, but that was a really good cyclocross season for me. It was quite a big step up in the right direction as well.
How difficult is it to manage athletic performance when you're also dealing with the day-to-day realities of finding somewhere to live, going to the local supermarket, all of the things that we take for granted in our own country, you were having to do overseas as a teenager?
Yeah, it's definitely difficult balancing it, but that's the one thing I like about these camps. We can just come here and focus on getting better as a rider. You know, we've got a great chef here, or a few chefs cooking for us, and the mechanics are making sure our bikes are all doing great, and yeah, things like that.
Do you feel that you've really sort of earned this place in the sun? You've had to go out and do it for yourself. You've had to jump in your car in Lichfield, drive through the tunnel, presumably, and get yourself to Belgium effectively as a kid. It seems like you've sort of earned your place here, finally, having somebody look after your bike and cook your meals.
Yeah, I feel like I've worked my way up the ranks, being on a Belgian club team and then a continental team and then coming here. So yeah, it's been quite a few different steps.
Yeah, I mean, DSM, ironically, has almost led the way in the development of young riders. It has accommodation in Sittard at the Keep Challenging Centre. I think it was almost a pioneer of Devo teams, which are now commonplace, aren't they? It's almost replaced the academy pathway. Would that have benefited you, JC, or are you an independent character? Do you like to shape your own destiny?
I mean, there's always different steps up to the World Tour. I wouldn't really want to have changed how I got here. I think everything just happened for a reason. And yeah, if it had been different, I don't know if I would have been here. So
every experience has contributed to making you the rider that you are today.
Yeah.
Did this always feel like the culmination, in a sense? Just being a professional bike rider, ultimately, does that mean riding for a World Tour team? You've ridden in numerous different disciplines, mountain bike, you've been the British Circuit Race champion, you've ridden on the track, and yet here you are as a member of a World Tour team. Does that feel like you are now a professional cyclist?
Yeah, I definitely feel like a professional cyclist.
In a way, perhaps, that you wouldn't have done as a mountain biker, or is that unfair?
I initially, growing up, I always wanted to be a professional mountain biker, but I feel like it's almost harder to get into. It's not as, or it doesn't seem as straightforward as road does. as in like the club teams, Conti team, that sort of step up. So yeah, it sort of just happened really. I feel like also as a mountain biker, you have to live in the right environment. I didn't quite make it in that aspect because like I didn't have trails right on my doorstep. I could have driven to them, I suppose, but yeah, I just did most of my training on the road. So then I was lacking some skills in that sense.
But I think I'm right in saying you've ridden rounds of the Mountain Bike World Cup. I mean, that's an extraordinary achievement by itself for somebody for whom mountain biking isn't their only discipline.
Yeah. That was, so I did that in 2019 when I was on the GB squad. That was a really good year. I pretty much just focused on mountain biking for that season. There was some very tricky courses. In training, I used to just sort of throw myself at things and then think about it afterwards when I was on the floor. So yeah, it was up and down, but I think there's a sort of thrill in mountain biking that you almost can't replicate in road. It's different. Obviously in road, you can go down a descent at, I don't know, 80 Ks an hour, whatever, in a massive group. And that's scary, but it's not quite the same as doing a whole trail up and down and, you know, hopping over things and going over drops. It's different, but yeah, they're both good.
Yeah. Coming back to our earlier point when we were talking about all those formative experiences, living abroad, driving across Europe, that kind of thing, and we sort of concluded that no experience is wasted. I guess that's true in a sporting sense as well. When you find yourself on the cobbles of Roubaix, is the time on a mountain bike, does that suddenly seem very valuable?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, the Paris-Roubaix in 2021 was the closest road race I've ever done to a cyclocross sort of mountain bike off-road race. And I feel like, yeah, I was confident on the cobbles because of my off-road past. I think a lot of girls hated it, actually, from what I heard, but it's probably has been my favorite race so far. I didn't do great. I finished it, but I was over the time limit. But yeah, I was smiling the entire race because it was so close to being off-road. Had a bit of nostalgia.
Did you make it to the Velodrome?
I did, yeah.
And how was that?
It was crazy. I only found out afterwards, actually, that I was over time limit. So that was a little bit, that hurt a bit. My average heart rate for that race was actually 183. That was extremely high for like a, I don't know how long it was, over 3 hours, I think, yeah.
Wow, that's a tough day in the saddle.
Yeah.
Of all the different disciplines, JC, what represents the sweet spot for you? As I mentioned, you've been British Circuit Race champion, which is sort of almost an afterthought given everything else that you've accomplished already. If you had to sort of draw it on a chart, like a Venn diagram, what would be your sweet spot? What would be the best type of racing for you?
Yeah, probably the most enjoyable races for me are the ones that are a bit more technically difficult. If it's raining in a race or if there's some tricky corner sections, things like that, you tend to get that in local laps. And yeah, punchy climbs, I think that's a sort of race that I really enjoy.
I mean, that opens up a whole field, everything from the cobble classics through to the Ardennes classics.
Yeah.
I mean, the potential seems enormous.
Like in the UK, the races like Sickle Classic and when Nationals was in Lincoln, they were really good races. I enjoyed those.
Yeah, well, let's deal with those separately because both were amazing performances. Firstly, the Cycle Classic, I mean, continuing a bit of a family tradition by winning after Emily had won it a couple of years earlier. And then your performance at Lincoln was, again, a brutally hard, cobbled race. Talk us through those.
Yeah, I'll start with National Champs. That was a bit of a surprise for me. I liked the course coming into it and I think it suited me well, so I was confident. But yeah, I didn't know that I'd end up on the podium, so coming second was a really nice feeling.
And then the Cycle Classic, what do you remember of that day?
I went into it wanting to win and thinking I had a pretty good chance. So I just had to hope that luck was on my side, because obviously punctures and things like that can always happen. I remember I promised my dad the day before that I'd bring him back the big pork pie, but then it turns out that you only got that if you won the sprints, because my sister got that for winning the race in 2019.
Has he forgiven you?
Yeah.
I mean, that's another sort of interesting angle on your career. You've been the British Circuit Race champion. You've won one of the most prestigious races in the National Road Series. And yet, when I think about British women's domestic cycling, I don't think about Josie Nelson. I always think of you as a European rider. You'd ridden the Amstel Gold Race before you'd won the Cycle Classic, which seems extraordinary. Do you follow the domestic scene? Does that feel like part of your development?
Yeah, I think having done races in Europe was all valuable experience for then coming back to the UK and doing a few of those races. I'd like to have done the whole national series, but sometimes it just hasn't fitted in well enough. I feel like if you want to be noticed by a team, you just have to get yourself out to Belgium or Holland, which is where most of the continental teams are based, and just do those races. The Kermesse races were really good. Like, it didn't really matter if you, I don't know, DNF'd or whatever, you could just try different things, and eventually it pays off and you know what to do and what not to do, and just getting yourself comfortable as in like the sort of European side of racing.
And what about the sheer enjoyment factor of a Belgian Kermesse? I interviewed a British rider a couple of years ago who'd been in the world tour. It hadn't worked out. He found himself bored and isolated in an apartment in Spain, and finally took himself back to Belgium and started racing his bike again and started enjoying his bike again. Tell us about the atmosphere of a Belgian Kermesse.
It's a really good atmosphere. Everyone comes out of, because they're usually in towns, like going past people's houses. So you just get people just, walking out of their house and watching you and cheering along. And it's really nice.
There was a phase in 2021 where you rode six Kermesses back to back. You won two of them. You finished second in two of them. I think fifth was the lowest that you'd finished. And just reading that list of results, I was thinking, gosh, Josie really enjoys riding Kermesse races.
Yeah.
Would that be a fair conclusion?
Yeah, so that was when I was on ESRX. So I was in Belgium for about 2.5 months, and that block was more towards the end of my time there. So I'd gotten used to it. I'd gotten more experience. So after failing, if you want to call it that, a lot of times, I knew sort of how to win, what I needed to do.
You mentioned earlier that with co-op, you perhaps didn't have the resources of a World Tour team, but you did have a lot of opportunities to race, and opportunities don't come any bigger than the Tour de France fam. Yeah. So can you tell us about that?
We were a bit surprised when we found out the team had got in. I think we were a bit of an underdog for that. But nevertheless, extremely excited for that experience. On the whole, each stage felt like a classics race, like a really hard Liège-Bastogne-Liège, but day after day. The easiest stage, surprisingly, was actually the longest one, because the pace was a little bit slower. It was brutal, actually. My form wasn't quite where I'd wanted it to be, so I struggled a lot. It was a crazy experience. Obviously, there's no race bigger than that. So to have done that already is a really great experience.
I was reading your diaries on Rouleur, and you were late for warming up for your time trial because the car was caught behind the publicity caravan.
Yeah.
These are things that only happen at the Tour, aren't they?
Yeah, we were doing a recon of the TT route, and we were told we weren't allowed on any earlier than when we went on. But even like, we were cutting it a bit fine, but like we couldn't have, I don't feel like I could have done a TT having not seen the course. It didn't really make sense, especially at the tour. There wasn't an opportunity beforehand to have done a rec on. So yeah, we went round and yeah, we probably averaged about 10 miles an hour around the whole course. So it was a little bit stressful, but yeah, it could have been worse.
And what was your sensation, Josie, at the end of the race? Were you absolutely elated? Were you on your knees? How does it feel to finish a Tour de France?
Yeah, as a team, we were all proud of each other to have gotten that far and even just finished the race. We didn't get the results we wanted, but I feel like the stage that I was in, just to have finished it, was an achievement.
A 3-week Grand Tour could happen within the space of your career. How do you feel about that? Do you think in those terms, or are you free from any considerations about the development of the women's sport? You are free already simply to concentrate on being an athlete.
Yeah, I think even just in the past few years, the progress that women's sport has made is really great, and I'm excited to see the rest of the progress. For me, I'm pretty happy at the minute with how things are, but it would be really great to see like a 3-week Tour de France. I think it would be really interesting.
I was talking to another rider recently, Alice Sharp, who's on one of our sponsored teams. We were talking about the Ruta del Sol, which was brutal for a rider like Alice, who's currently on the track at the European Championships. And she said a couple of years ago, it was enough to go to races like that and be strong. Now the women's peloton is becoming much more professional, much more focused. And if you're not a climber on a climbing race, you are going to suffer. Are you also noticing a sort of trend towards specialization? Is that the way the sport's going?
Yeah, you do need to, or there is specialization in the sport. And it's like in stage races, they have different courses. So as a GC rider, you have to be able to do all of it.
And is that ultimately how you see yourself progressing as a GC rider?
Yeah, I think nothing is set in stone yet. I'm a bit of an all-rounder, so a GC rider does make sense. But yeah, I also like the cobbled classics, those sort of races.
What opportunities do you hope to receive this year in your debut season with DSM?
Yeah, I have I've got my race calendar up until May time. So there's a few classics in there, some climbing races. Just sort of see how it goes really for the first half of the season, and then work from it from there.
Any particular highlights, any races that you're especially looking forward to?
Yeah, I'm especially looking forward to Strada Bianchi. I've not done that one before, and yeah, that's got some interesting gravel in. So I think it should suit me well. I can be a good aid to the team in that.
Wonderful. Well, Josie, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks.
For joining us today. Very best of luck in 2024.
Thank you. Yeah.
If you've enjoyed today's episode, please hit subscribe.